Pastor Dave Russell. Pastor Dave is the pastor of Oakhurst Baptist Church down in the Oakhurst community here in Charlotte. He grew up in Charlotte and has been back for two and a half years. He was in D.C. for a time and is now pastoring Oakhurst. So, Pastor Dave, would you please come bring us the word?
All right, as we prepare to hear God's word, let's bow and pray once more. Father, we are a people who are in need of your grace. We're in need of your wisdom. And where else can we turn besides you? And so we come this morning, we ask for your wisdom, we ask for your leadership, we ask for your guidance. God, we ask for your grace this morning to guide us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm right now at the 2.5 year mark for my pastorate at Oakhurst Baptist Church. And I recently shared with my members at a congregational meeting, I wanted to share with them how they could pray for me. And I wanted to be transparent to let them know what my experience had been so far at Oakhurst, that really I'd had two experiences. One was that my time serving as a pastor was far more encouraging and joyful than I had expected. And so being able to preach through God's word, it nourished my soul in a way that I didn't anticipate. I knew that preaching would be a heavy load, and taking on my first year, I think it was 45 sermons that I preached out of 52 weeks. I knew that would be a lot. But the way the Lord met me as I studied through the book of Colossians and got to preach through the entire book of Colossians and got to preach through the entire gospel of Mark and books like Titus and Jonah and Ruth and James, so many different places where I could be nourished and then see God working through his word in the lives of our people. That was a tremendous blessing for me to see God changing people in our church, to see people come to faith. In 2.5 years, I've had the pleasure of baptizing 35 different folks at our church. So it's been a joy, far more joyful than I expected. And at the same time, far more difficult than I expected. And I shared that with them. I said, hey, let me be clear. It's not difficult because of you all. My congregation is very kind, a godly group of folks that the Lord's provided there at Oakhurst to pastor. It's been a joy to pastor them. But pastoral ministry has been far more difficult than I expected. Not because I necessarily think I was naive. I mean, like many of you, you're here to train for pastoral ministry because you understand how difficult it is and the weight of the responsibility of opening up God's word and feeding God's people, that you need training and you need preparation. By God's grace, I received great training. I'm thankful for the time I had at my seminary, at Southeastern Seminary, and training I had there. Loved that time. I'm thankful for the internship I was able to do at Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., a wonderful, really intense internship that I had there that I think was very formative and helped prepare me to be able to serve on staff there, to be an elder at that church, and to pastor alongside some of the finest Christians that I've known. Was very formative, gleaned a lot of wisdom from them. But all that training, while it was helpful, and while I think it was necessary, it wasn't enough to make me adequate or Christian ministry. And is that really any surprise? I mean, after all, the Apostle Paul said, in reference to gospel ministry and the triumph of the gospel, who's adequate for these things? Who's sufficient for these things? That the ministry of the gospel, the Christian ministry, will not be accomplished by human wisdom. It's only by wisdom that comes from the Lord. And so there's a verse that I've been turning to regularly, if not daily, that I've prayed. James chapter 1, verse 5. I've just prayed, God, you promised that you give wisdom to those who ask. And so I come and ask you for wisdom. I think serving as a pastor has highlighted the great need that I have for wisdom. It hasn't just like revealed all this wisdom that I gained over the years. More so, it's been a light to shine on how much I'm in need of wisdom. And as I pastor, think about what we do as pastors. You're helping God's people walk by faith in the midst of their trials. As a pastor, you face new trials, and you're helping God's people walk in faith by trials. Well, James, he speaks to trials. Let's turn there. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. James speaks to trials here. He speaks to what it looks like to walk in trials. And really today, we're going to be looking at a short passage, a brief passage, that really is an application. You face trials. Okay, so what do you do in the midst of trials? Well, here's what we see in verses 5 through 8 of James 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. That person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So James, it doesn't read like your typical New Testament letter, right? There's no real introduction here. He's kind of just diving right in and dispensing practical wisdom. So it's a lot of practical wisdom. That's why James is often referred to as the Proverbs of the New Testament. He's very simple, clear, practical. And he starts off dealing with trials. And in verse 2, he makes it clear that this side of glory, that Christians will regularly face trials. You know, some contemporary preachers are concerned with trying to convince their people that if they just do a certain number of things or have enough faith that they won't experience trials. James makes it clear that we will experience trials of various kinds. Some trials will be small, lasting for an hour or 2 hours and maybe for a day. Some trials will be large, lasting for years, maybe even the rest of our lives. We face spiritual trials. We face physical trials of pain and sickness and disease. And so what James, his concern was to prepare Christians for the many trials, the various kinds of trials that certainly they would face. And so it's clear this. Number one, you're going to face trials. Number two, be clear, God stands ready to give wisdom. Just ask him. We look there in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, which means everyone, means me, means you, means all of us. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Let us pray. Let's ask God. We lack wisdom. What do we do? I think James is clear. Well, often in a trial, we're not going to know what to do. We're not going to know, how do I endure this trial? How do I move forward in this trial? You know, as a pastor, I understand that largely what I can do is point people to trust in the Lord. I heard a story. A friend of mine said a guy came up to him and said, well, you're the pastor. You're the guy with all the answers, right? He said, no, I'm the guy who points to that guy, right? I'm the guy who points to the guy with all the answers. I point to Jesus. I point to trusting in Jesus. We point people to seeking God and to seeking his wisdom. And the good news is that he gives generously to all without reproach. And what we see here is that God stands ready to generously give. In fact, he's far more willing to give wisdom than you and I tend to be willing to ask. He stands ready to give. He's generous. You see, it brings God delight when his people come to him seeking wisdom. He does not grow weary of our asking. He invites us to come and to ask. Certainly, we understand theologically, he never runs out of wisdom. We understand that God never finds himself in a surprising situation. He's sovereign and he's in control. But do we understand that he's generous and ready, willing for us to come and ask him? That it brings him great delight, that is a sweet aroma to the Lord when his people come before him asking him in prayer. He gives generously to all without reproach. If you ask, it will be given to you. That's why I've come to this verse so often. And just the reminder of the need that I have for wisdom daily. The reminder of the need that my people have for wisdom daily. If we understand that need, then I think what that need will be shown in our lives, we'll pray. If you understand that need, we will turn and we will pray to the Lord. Now, you know, contemporary evangelicalism likes to speak about pastoring in a number of terms now, which I don't think they're all necessarily bad, but they're certainly not the priority. So if you read a lot of books, I read a lot of books when we replanted our church. I read church planting books. I was fully aware that there would be, it'd kind of be like eating watermelon, a lot of seeds that I'd have to spit out, maybe some good things there that I could glean. But a lot of them were concerned with pastors having a very clear strategy, pastors being caught up in vision casting and networking and thinking creatively. And again, there's nothing wrong with all those things. I actually like vision casting. I enjoy networking. I enjoy all of those things. But if we're talking about pastoral ministry, primarily in regards to those types of aspects of leadership, which really are just taking notes off of business books for the most part and slapping G. And Christians, we're not good at that. We're kind of 10 years behind the business trends anyways, right? So we're kind of out of date when we talk about those things. But what happens to pastoral ministry in talking about terms of preaching God's word and prayer? You see, I had the benefit of one of my mentors, Mark Dever, at Capitol Baptist Church, and he writes this in one of his books, and it was really just contained in a book, and this is what he would say to us in preparation for ministry. Guys, here's what you need to give yourself to. He said, Dave, you know, your first year there at Oakhurst, number one, try to preach excellent sermons. Like, give yourself to preaching. Give yourself to the task and the responsibility of preaching God's word. Preach. It was four P's. Preach. Pray. personally disciple others, and be patient. Preach, pray, personally disciple others, and be patient. Another way that he put it was preach, pray, love, stay. Give yourself to the long view of Christian ministry. Brothers, think about the importance. Brothers and sisters, think about the importance of praying in our ministry. In corporate worship, far too often, prayer is relegated to a transition for musicians to sit up and sit down. Well, it shouldn't be that way. It's a central part of our worship together as Christians that we're called to come and pray. God's word directs us to pray when we come together. And again, I had the benefit of that being modeled well before me. So in our church this past week, I'm just kind of carrying on what I saw emulated before me. And it was giving a pastoral prayer, something I do every week, pastoral prayer, longer prayer of intercession. We have an elder that gets up and prays most weeks. So we either do a prayer of confession like we did last week, or prayer of praise, or prayer of thanksgiving. We start and end every service at times of silent prayer, just silent right there praying. The first thing you hear out of that opening prayer is God's word. That's our call to worship. And then after the sermon, after we sing our last hymn, a time of silent prayer. The piano plays after that time of silent prayer, and that dismisses folks. Sunday evening, we have our prayer services, and prayer services, again, have all but disappeared from churches largely. I understand that some churches farm those out to small groups, and that's fine, but I think there's a benefit there to God's people coming together specifically for the task of praying. And I look at our prayer service, and I don't try to guilt people into it, though sometimes guilt can be a useful pastoral tool. But I do try to point out, our church would not be the same, I'm convinced, without our Sunday evening prayer service. The answer to the prayers that we've seen, we come, we pray for things, and God is just generous to provide what we're asking him to provide. I really think we would be a different church if we didn't have that prayer service. What about in our lives of personal devotion? How much do we sense this need for wisdom? And how much are we aware that God stands ready to give wisdom to all who ask? What we must do is ask, and for the one who asks, it's clear here, it will be given him. Verse 5, it will be given him. And so how much we ask God, it reveals how much we truly know him. How much we truly know him to be wise. Now this praying, again, this call for wisdom here, wisdom certainly comes by observing life and gaining experience. I get that. But I think what James is talking about is a wisdom not that just comes by sitting back and learning and observing, but a wisdom that comes by prayer. By asking God for prayer, for seeking wisdom from him, that trusts that God alone is wise. Verse 6 says we're to ask in faith with no doubting. Now that can be a little bit concerning. I mean, who among us hasn't doubted? I mean, we could read this prayer and think, or this verse and think, when I pray, if I question if God's going to answer this prayer, will he really do this in my life or in the life of my people? We could read this and think, you know, who among us have never doubted? Does that mean that if we doubt, we are doomed? That we'll never receive anything from the Lord, that he doesn't hear our prayers? I don't think that's what James means. You've got to really read verse 6 and verse 8 together here. There's doubting in verse 6, and verse 8, there's this double-minded man. I think this is describing the same thing there, that being double-minded really is different than simply struggling with fear. Being double-minded is having a divided heart. It's not being sincere. You see, if you're walking by faith and praying by faith, faith is this ongoing confidence in the Lord, that he alone is wise and that he generously gives wisdom to his children. Here, this double-minded doubt is this own inner uncertainty if you really want God to provide or not. Here's what I think this looks like. I mean, there are Christian churches and denominations in town, call themselves Christians at least, who do not subscribe to the authority of God's word. And yet they pray. And to reject the authority of God's word, to reject the sufficiency of God's word and say, well, we want to modernize the Bible, we want to soften the teaching of the Bible, we want to update the Bible, we want to be editors instead of deliverers of God's word, is really to be double-minded. To say, well, sure, those churches, they pray, but at the same time, they really don't want God's wisdom. He's already revealed his wisdom in his word, and we want God to think differently. We want to ignore the wisdom that he's revealed. And maybe even in our churches, we're not in a place where our churches are in the place of questioning the authority of God's word. Maybe we can relate more to questioning the sufficiency of God's word. That God's word is sufficient for the Christian life. That God's word is sufficient for the Christian church. That God's word is sufficient to guide us and to provide wisdom for us. And perhaps that's why pastors are called to preach God's word and to pray and to preach and to pray and to love God's people and to stay. The way of living double-minded, James says, it's unstable. It's a wave in the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. It could be a cultural wind, new thoughts, new pressures that come with culture. But the call here is this, that Christians ask God for wisdom. It's a regular pattern of our lives that we come and we ask, and by God's grace we receive, and we see the need to ask more. Well, a good question to ask yourself in closing here today, it's a question I've asked myself regularly. If God answered your prayers last week, how much wisdom would you have gained? If God answered your prayers last week, were we asking God for wisdom? What would be the fruit of those prayers? You know, today's a new day. His mercies are new each morning. Today's a day to ask God for his wisdom. How quick we are to forget our need of it. How quick we are to forget his generosity to freely give to his people. You see, James here, he doesn't provide a way of avoiding trials, but of growing in your faith in the midst of those trials. And one of the first prescriptions he gives, the first application, turn and ask. Brothers and sisters, let us not grow weary of asking God. Let's pray.